As we move from the lies of Eric Holder and President Obama to the lies of the gold market. That was a pretty poor transition, but you know, you'll understand it here in a couple minutes. Welcome back to the Dan Kofall Show. I'm Dan Kofall. Website, Dan Kofall, COFALL.com. Go out and sign up for the newsletter. I'd be happy to send it to you each day. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. I keep getting updates on the open rates and on the click-through rates, and those continue to go up. So we're doing something right, and hopefully you all are enjoying it. My next guest is my good friend, Richard Dowdy, a.k.a. the Magombo Guru, economist and contributor to, contributor to the Kofall Letter and the Daily Reckoning. Somebody had it backwards, Magombo. So it's the Kofall Letter and the Daily Reckoning. That reads much better, my friend.
It does read a lot better. It falls trippingly from the tongue.
Exactly. All right. There should be no surprise on our radar screen today that the headline news from the Financial Times said that gold price manipulation is routine. And Financial Times is an incredibly credible publication. And they said, and of course, this makes perfect sense because over the years, the skeptics claim that every other asset class could be routinely manipulated, but not gold, never gold. It turns out, yes, gold too was rigged. It doesn't come as a surprise to anybody, does it, Magombo?
No, it certainly doesn't, except for the Financial Times. But, you know, I've had problems with those guys before. They're Keynesians from the word go. And so, you know, they just believe in all this stuff. They believe that gold was a barbaric relic and all that stuff. So it is kind of surprising to have them actually say, hey, you guys were right.
Well, here's the interesting part is the bank. Let me find out which bank this was. Oh, Barclays. And the UK regulators hit Barclays with a $26 million fine for, quote, lax controls. I think the controls were as tight as they could be, and they got exactly what they wanted. It was a fixed gold market. And they said, this was just minor. It was just adjusting basically the bullion price to the paper price. So nobody's really been hurt, and there's only one exception, and that would be customers who might have taken the wrong side of the trade based upon Barclays' advice. And wow, Barclays customers must be leaving Barclays. If you are a gold trader, you must be leaving Barclays in droves right now.
Well, one would think, and it's kind of go somewhere else will treat you better. That's the way money always is. It goes where it's treated better.
It should. But, you know, when you've got printing presses running in Europe and America and Asia, money goes wherever it's made, wherever somebody who makes it wants it to go. There's really no free market for money anymore.
No, free markets are a thing of the past all over the place, including fiscal and monetary policy, too. That's a shame of it all.
I know it. All right, well, let's get to the price of gold. Dropping. Gold is what, 13? It was 1240, 1245, something like that today.
Yeah, okay.
Well, hang on. Let me look just to make sure. I remain unconcerned about gold. Now, I must admit, I told this to my friends the other day, that if I was a newbie in gold and I'd bought it 1900, I'd be really concerned. But I didn't buy it 1900. Yeah. And same way as you. My average price of precious metal is way below the 1200, so I'm really not that concerned about it, as I know you're not. But a lot of people who got into gold late are edgy, to say the least. Should they be edgy? What do you think?
Well, they could be disappointed, I suppose, that it didn't work out perfectly for them, and they're now rolling in riches. I can see there's certain disgruntlement. But this is just a big, gigantic buying opportunity. People that finally wake up and see the light and see what's going on and actually buy gold, they're going to be very, very happy that these people have suppressed the price this long so they could buy this much gold.
You know, what's funny is we have a client in waiting to acquire a good chunk of gold, big chunk of gold. And it's funny because the timing is outstanding right now. He had to do something else in order to put himself in position to buy gold. And this is a seven-figure purchase he's getting ready to make.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, it's a big deal. So, but all of a sudden, when we talk to him, it's like, well, gee whiz! If you thought it was great before, it's just practically a steal right now. And we don't know whether it's going to go to 1100, but we do know that it's not going to stay in this range for very long.
Well, you know, that's the advantage of dollar cost averaging when you're buying. Buy the same dollar amount each month. And so when the price goes down, you'll be buying more per month. And when it goes up, you'll be buying less per month. So you're always buying at a cheaper price. You're getting more when it goes down in price. And that's exactly what they're giving you. That's exactly how dollar cost averaging works. It's working beautifully, and it's going to work out even better. It's actually almost too delicious, Dan.
All right, let's talk a little bit about why gold may be dropping. It's clearly there has been outside influence, but there are some reasons that gold could be dropping. And there's a fear, wrongly so, but there is a fear of deflation. Short term, sure. Long term, no way. Do you think the fear of deflation is driving gold down?
Well, how do you define deflation?
Well, hell, I don't know.
The classical definition of deflation. The classical definition is a fall in the money supply, and that is not going to happen. The Federal Reserve is going to keep creating as much dollars, cash and credit as they possibly can, because the government, the U.S. federal government, has got to borrow $1 trillion or more a year, and that money's got to come from somewhere. They can't get it from the private market. That would just destroy everything when the government's sucking up that much money. So we're going to continue to have the money supply going up. So that deflation in the classical sense of the money supply going down is not going to happen. Deflation in the price of assets, on the other hand, can very well happen. When people just lose faith in that real estate will go up, well, then they will all sell. If they think that IBM will go down, then they'll sell. Is it selling here at the high? I mean, look at the stock. It's a historical highs, practically. The price-to-earning ratio is over 20% for these things, for the S&P 500. The Russell 2000, the vast majority of stocks are falling. It's just a few of them are keeping the averages up a little bit. But yeah, and things are falling down.
Did you see the news on the Russell 2000 today? Is that the average Russell 2000 stock is down 22% from its recent highs. Okay,
right.
And yet the prices are not. We look at earnings, and earnings are at the earnings have peaked. Earnings are coming back down. The expectations for earnings increases are almost non-existent right now. Earnings are being manufactured day in and day out by very creative accountants who want to borrow money and buy shares back. This isn't real productivity, real volume increases, and real customer demand driving this at all.
No, it's not. It's the fact that there are tsunamis of money flooding into the world from the Federal Reserve. The ECB is getting ready to start monetizing debt, quantitative easing, and Japan and China is even getting ready to do a bunch of this stuff. So we're talking of trillions of dollars getting ready to flood into the market. It's just weird. But they got to keep this thing up. The Federal Reserve has the idea that the wealth effect is going to solve everybody's problems. The wealth effect meaning that if your stocks go up and you feel wealthier, then you will start borrowing money and spending it. So that's basically their goal, is to get stock prices up and housing prices up and get consumer debt down somehow. And look, they're already having the forgiveness of student debt. That's going to put money in people's pockets. The federal government has programs to pay down parts of people's mortgages, for crying out loud. We're handing them assets.
And that's how you do it.
Yeah, they're just flooding money everywhere. They're trying to get this thing going so they can, believe it or not, have inflation, which is the thing that kills economies. But here they are trying to get more inflation in prices.
Yeah,
specifically in assets such as stocks and bonds and houses.
And then they're getting exactly what they want in healthcare. They're getting inflation there, and that's government subsidized. They're getting inflation in housing prices, although they have kind of sort of peaked right now. That's government subsidized. They're getting almost record numbers of new car sales, because if you fog a mirror, you get a loan today for a new car. The only thing that they haven't gotten into yet are personal loans, credit cards, and then small business loans. But I am of the firm belief that what will happen is the Federal Reserve will tell the member banks, boys, it's time. You've got massive, massive reserves on hand. Find somebody to lend that to. I know you don't have anybody that you would normally lend it to, but let's pretend this is 1993 all over again, and you didn't have any good credit to lend to back then for these high-risk mortgages, but you made the loans anyway. Do that now and get your reserves out. Now, when that happens, now all of a sudden there's no question that there's no deflation anymore, and now we go into the inflation.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that people are talking about is how the velocity of money is falling. The velocity of money being defined as how many times each dollar turns over in the economy per year financing purchases. Well, the velocity of money is basically GDP divided by the money supply. And the money supply has been roaring along. And so that fraction is going to fall. Yes, velocity is going to fall because the denominator of the fraction, the money supply divided, is exploding, whereas the GDP isn't going anywhere. People don't have any money to spend. They're not spending money very much. It just profits are down. Just all kinds of bad things are happening. And so that's why velocity is falling. But it is always a bad sign.
It is. Velocity is an all-time low right now, according to the Federal Reserve, and it has dropped precipitously, like a rock, since about 2008.
It
has just dropped, and that's the real reason. You just hit it. There's more money out there, and you've got a relatively finite amount of GDP. Little increases, little decreases big decrease in 2008 and 2009, but since then, very little change. But you throw trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars at worldwide GDP, which is about $60 trillion, it doesn't take all that much new currency being printed to really get the velocity down to nothing.
Yeah, and beyond that, but the federal government is pounding money into the economy like it's going out of style by deficit spending. So there's all that. But and then there's the suppression of the gold price, too. That takes money. But these guys are making money. So if the gold price goes down one day because these guys are doing that, that's their job. That's what they do. That's what they've been doing for years. So why would they stop now? They still have mortgages to pay. They still have kids in school. They still got to pay for that new car. So, yeah, they're going to keep on doing it with the blessing of the federal government and the Federal Reserve.
You know, and I'll bet most people don't think about deficits the way that I'm going to lay this out here very quickly. Three big components. There is the budget deficit, which you brought up a minute ago, which is so much higher than is being reported. It's, you know, $5, $6 trillion if you use generally accepted accounting principles.
Yeah.
Then there is the increase in the Fed's debt over the course of a year, which at one point in time was over $1 trillion. Now, if you believe them, half a trillion, unless you really think that the money coming from Brussels to buy debt isn't the Federal Reserve's, in which case it's still $1 trillion. And then you add to that, though, our trade deficit, of which our trade deficit is still fairly substantial. So all three of those are what make up the debt in this country, and none of them look good.
None of them look good. That is exactly right. This is why we're not supposed to get into this. That's why the Founding Fathers wrote in the Constitution, money shall only be silver and gold, because you can't expand the money supply, which keeps you from getting into problems just like this. That was the whole point of the thing, to prevent these problems from happening, and here we are.
All right, last question, Magambo. In Europe, it looks like they're going to have to deal with stimulus. A lot of folks think that stimulus is going to be true stimulus. I think that stimulus is going to be negative interest rates, where it costs you money to keep your money in the bank. I think they're going to try that first, because that's kind of a no-cost option to the EU. And I think they'll try that in the United States. Do you have an opinion on whether negative interest rates are going to be brought to bear in those areas?
I would not think so. It is so bizarre that no one would keep their money in a bank. They take the cash home.
Well, that's it. They don't. But that's what they want. The government wants them not to keep the money there. They want them to spend it on stocks and bonds and real estate and things that appreciate.
Well, the spending and keeping your money in the bank are completely different things altogether. Spending is when you got money that you want to spend, and you think you're going to have enough in the future to pay the debts if you borrow the money. And there's nobody in their right mind thinks that's going to happen. Do you think that everybody believes that their jobs are going to continue? Jobs will be plentiful. They'll have lots of discretionary cash when they're up to their eyeballs in debt already? I don't think so.
Magaba, when I came to the conclusion that I believe what will happen is they'll go negative interest rates first, I immediately went long shovels. Because
probably a very astute move.
I think that's probably one of my most brilliant financial moves. I went long. I'm trying to corner the shovel market right now because these folks have to put it somewhere. And okay, maybe folks like me and maybe we dig a small hole. But banks have and companies like Apple, for example, with $100 billion or more, they got to dig a big damn hole.
Well, you know, that's what will happen. You'll create an incentive for someone to come up with an idea to circumvent all of that. Money just doesn't sit still and get punished. It goes someplace where it won't be punished. And if it can't find a place, someone will invent a place.
Yeah, like gold.
Bitcoin, you know, something like that. It's all I don't know.
All right, brother. Always great to have you on, my friend, the Magaba Guru, Richard Dowdy. And you can read his work in the Kofal Letter, also in Daily Reckoning. And Economica Magambo is his most recent book. There's another one in the pipeline. It's great stuff. Website is magamboguru.com, and he's my good friend. I appreciate it. Every week you come on, Richard.
Thank you, Dan. It's always wonderful to be with you, bud.
All right, you take care.
Bye-bye.
We're going to be back right after this break. I've got to go check. I'm going to get a quote on shovels right now. I'll be right back.